Welcome to part six of the long-term plan series and the Talking Auckland podcast. If you're wondering what happened to part five of the local boards, I'm busy putting together some questions for a select number of local boards and sending them out once I have the answers all back onto part five. But here in part six, we're looking at the what feedback I'm likely to give back to the long-term plan and Auckland Transport's regional and transport plan. To make it easy, I'm going to be following the questions that are in the blue consultation book and the orange summary book that arrived in your households at the beginning of the month. So let's work our way through question by question. The questions will be stuck up on the blog as well as any other supporting materials. So question 1A, do I agree with the proposed overall average general rates increase of 3.5%, 5.4% for residential, which will enable the proposed investment outlined in the LTP document. Disagree, and that automatically kicks me into 1B. If you do not agree, which activity areas do you think we should spend more and less, and what of general rates increase would you support? The general rating component is fine, providing we bring in alternative funding that isn't extra rates, fuel taxes and motorway tolls, and that Development Auckland is used as more as an active landlord where lease and rent money can be funneled into things like transport projects as done overseas. So where would I spend less? Well, staffing can still be cut by at least 25%, starting with the senior managers and middle managers. If the workers can't work unsupervised without a middle manager, they can be also he-hoved out the door, and that should save hopefully at least 25, if not 33%, of the $700 million wages bill that the council currently faces. So that's definitely one area we can spend less on. Other areas is probably AT'd. So that's AT'd, not Auckland Transport. That's Auckland Tourism, Economic. I don't know what the other one is in development. That one could probably have its budget cut back a bit as we focus this on cultural through these formative years until our finances are back on track. With the budget cutbacks through AT'd, it can work harder to leverage better off private sponsorship for tourism and economic events into the city, and they would happily follow the mantra of efficiency, doing more with less. Areas where we can increase on should always be parks and recreation as the city grows, and Auckland Transport, minus some of their roading projects, which I'll come down to later on. So that's question 1A. And 1B. 2A, do I support the basic transport network or the Auckland Plan Transport Network to address our problems, or other? The box I would tick is other. And so what would that be? That would be Transport Blog and Generation Zero's modified congestion-free network, which comes in at a price tag of $9.8 billion, although they're revising it down to bring it in line with the basic transport network, which costs 6.9, the APTN costs 10.9, but yeah, for now, tentatively support Generation Zero's and Transport Blog's congestion-free network over anything the council has proposed. This leads to question 2B. If I do support the APTN, do I support the fuel tax and extra rates or the motorway charge? Well, the technical answer is neither, because I never selected the APTN, and if the APTN was selected by council, I would still select neither and pick the development Auckland model that I had proposed in an earlier LTP series podcast, which you can refer back to. And so we come to question 2C. Are there any specific priorities or projects, e.g. cycleways, improved public transport services, more bus lanes we should be focusing on as part of the basic transport or part of the ATPN, while the congestion-free network addresses all that for me quite nicely because it guts things out like Mill Road, so the project can be redone to better finances, although the root protection is necessary. Increases cycleways, they are altering their congestion-free network to accommodate light rail being brought forward into the isthmus. And of course they support things like the Northwestern Busway, the Northern Busway being the Northwestern Busway being built, the Northern Busway being extended, and of course the City Rail Link complete by 2023, the main project with the enabling work starting at the end of this year. If there was anything else I would bring on board for transport projects, that would be the Manukau South Link to be brought, completed and operational for 20 minute services from Papakura to Manukau direct by March next year, and Pokokoe electrification completed by 2018. Of course, there's lots of minor projects in there, although one other major project is to have all our crossings grade separated by 2020, starting with the five most hazardous, Munroa Road, St. Jude's Street, and Avondale, Morningside Crossing being absolute priority after a fatal there, and Walters Road in Takanini. Otherwise, we're coming into the smaller projects which can be handled directly through Auckland Transport and the local boards, such as boulevards and May Street and Main Streets in our metropolitan centres, and more shared spaces across our metropolitan centres and town centres as well, to make them more humane and attract that patronage back in there after that's been after the malls and big box retail had decimated it over the last two decades. So that's question 2C. Question 3 asked, do I support the creation of the Development Auckland CCO, where it's a more active role in the development of Auckland that would replace Auckland Council Property Limited and Waterfront Auckland? I do support it, but not on the narrow framework that I have seen come from Council on it. I support Development Auckland being an autonomous CCO like Auckland Transport, and Development Auckland being divided into four semi-autonomous divisions, the West, the North, the Isthmus, and the South, with each of those four carrying out projects per the main framework set by Development Auckland, which would be then overseen by the Auckland Development Committee, and the primary framework being the Auckland Plan, and of course the Unitary Plan, which lays down all the zones. Of course, Development Auckland would also be the primary landlord on any development that happens on its land, or anything with air rights above, something like a rail station. And that way all rent, ground rent and lease money it gains from being a landlord, any profits made from it can go back into Development Auckland and Auckland Transport to continue to fund future projects without placing pressure on the rates. So that leads to question 4, the uniform annual general charge that everyone pays in their rates. What do I think it should be? Well, I've got a table there which is set to my valuation is, which is at $360,000. And if I look at it, of course, I'm going to support the $250, so the low UAGC, because it means I only get a 0.2% rise, whereas if it stays at $385, I'd suffer a 5.4% rise. And if it goes to the $500 one, I get a 9.2% rise. If the $900 UAGC gets put in there, I can guarantee I'm looking at minimum 15% rate rise. So, of course, if I'm just thinking of myself, and anyone with a property under about $750,000, of course I'm going to support the $250 UAGC. If I'm taking a more holistic point of willing to bite the bullet, I would take the $385, but no higher. You can see the table there for our property, and I'll have the $700,000 one put up there as well, where it was pretty equal between the lots that acted as the threshold for the different level of the uniform annual general charge. Question 5, do I gradually support reducing the business property rates from 32 to 25, which means residential rates get up? Do not support. of the local boards. For me, it would be Papakura, but I'm also going to stray into Otara Papatoa because it houses the Manukau City Centre. Do I support their local board plans? Yes, but I just comment that council's got to make sure that the money is there to make sure things like the Papakura Metropolitan Centre Master Plan budget at $50,000 is carried out and all done by the end of 2016, ready for full operation in 2017. While with Papatoa, the money, Otara, the money is there for that local board to carry out the Manukau City Centre Master Plan to the same level of detail as the main City Centre Master Plan, but also could be completed by 2016 and brought into full operation by 2017 to start that city centre's urban renewal, especially when we've got luxury high-rises shops on the way. Is there any other feedback? Yes, but to keep the podcast short, I won't list it here, but once I've completed my feedback in written format, I will, of course, stick it up on the blog as it goes into council. So in the final podcast, apart from the local board one, I've still got to do, it will be the conclusion on what I think of the LTP and just outlining some key points for you as you weigh up your considerations if you decide to submit in on the long-term plans itself.